This year, we're going to start talking about the first bracha of, not the first bracha, the bracha of Pekeach Ivrim. We say every morning, Baruch Ato Hashem, Alekeinu Melech Ha'olam, Blessed are you Hashem, our God, the King of the world, Pekeach Ivrim, who gives sight to the blind. Now, the reason we say this bracha, the Rishonim say, is because when a person is asleep, they are, in some sense of the word, one is blind at that time. And when we open our eyes in the morning and we find that we are able to see, we need to bless Hashem for that ability to see. So we say the bracha of Pekeach Ivrim, that Hashem has given sight to the blind. Now, in the Gemara says, Ki posach eine lema baruch Pekeach Ivrim. When a person opens his eyes, he should say the bracha baruch Pekeach Ivrim. However, the Rif has a different girsa than the Gemara. He had a different version. And the Rif writes, the Rif's version of the Gemara is Kimanech Yode al Eine. When a person puts their hand on their eyes, Lema Baruch Pekeach Ivrim. That's when he should say Pekeach Ivrim. So we have what seems to be an argument as to when the Baruch Pekeach Ivrim should be said. Should it be said as soon as a person opens his eyes in the morning? That's our Gerasa is Ki Posach Eine. Or the Rif's Gerasa Ki Manech Yode Al Eine. When you put your hands on your eyes, then you should say Pekeach Ivrim. Now the understanding of the Rif is that a person can't really see well in the morning unless he first rubs his eyes. So therefore the Rif's Girsa in the Gemara is that don't say the Pekeach Ivrim unless you can fully see, which is once a person has rubbed their eyes. But that is all the simple understanding of the Gemara, but there is a very deep understanding of these words. And really, I believe that the Rif is giving us just an explanation of what opening our eyes means. In this week's parsha, Paro has a dream. Two dreams. And he fetches Yosef from jail. And he tells Yosef his dreams. And Yosef interprets the dreams. But Yosef doesn't stop there by interpreting the dreams. Yosef also gives Paro advice. He gives Paro advice as how to secure Mitzrayim during the 7 years of famine. And the Mefarshim ask, why did Yosef give Paro advice? It was totally unsolicited. Paro didn't ask him for advice. Paro only asked him to interpret the dreams. So I'd like to suggest that we take a look at Yosef. Yosef was a dreamer. Right? Yosef is called, the brothers call him the Baal HaChalomos. Right? Yosef is the dreamer. But Yosef wasn't just a dreamer. Yosef knew how to interpret dreams. And Yosef didn't only just, well, he wasn't just a dreamer and just knew how to interpret dreams. Yosef was a doer. Yosef acted on his dreams. He put himself into action to make sure that his dreams come to fruition. The famous story that the Ponovitcherov was the one that built Bnei Brak. So the Ponovitcherov, before Bnei Brak was built, somebody saw the Ponovitcherov looking at the mountain where the future Bnei Brak was going to be built. He was looking at this bare mountain. And someone walked over to him and said, Ponovitcherov, Avos Kuktia, what are you looking at? So Ponovitcherov answered, I'm looking at one of the biggest yeshivas in the world, where thousands of Talmidim are going to sit and learn. So this person said to Ponovitcherov, you're cholamed. Ponovitcherov, you're dreaming. So Ponovitcherov said, you're cholam taken. I might be dreaming, but I'm not sleeping. Yosef HaTzadik was a dreamer, but he wasn't a sleeper. He was a doer. There wasn't such a thing by Yosef as having a dream, having a vision, and not acting upon it. It just wasn't in his vocabulary. So when Paroi asked Yosef to interpret the dream, Yosef said, here, this is your vision, and this is what you need to do. It went to Yosef, they were inseparable. There's no such thing as a vision without acting upon it. The MS is, that is the avoid of every yid. Every yid needs to have a vision of what a person wants their life to look like. It's not just enough to have a vision. We have to interpret that vision, meaning we have to analyze how we are going to bring our plan, how we're going to bring our vision to actuality. And then once we figure that out, we have to act upon it. So there's really three steps here, right? There's the dream, there's the interpretation, which is the analyzing. The dream is the vision. The interpretation is analyzing how this can actually be brought into fruition. And then there's the third step is acting upon it. So that it involves the eye, right? The eyes have the vision. The heart, which is the heart needs to understand and analyze how the vision is going to come into fruition, and then the hands, right, which represent the action. The einayim, the eyes, the lev, and the yadayim. And this is why when Paroi said his dream to Yosef, and he said to Yosef the words, Paroi says to Yosef, I dreamt the dream. I said, there's nobody that can interpret it. I heard about you saying, that you can understand the dream to interpret it. Yosef answered one word, Bil Odoi. Bil Odoi, it's beyond me. Hashem will answer. Hashem will allow me to interpret the dream. But he uses the word Bil Odoi. If you take the word Bil Odoi backwards, it reads Yad, which is the hand, Ayin, the eye,
leg, the heart. Right? It's Bilodoy is Yad, Ayin, Lev. The three steps. Yosef says, listen, I'm going to interpret your dream. But it's not. I'm not just going to interpret the dream and not tell you how. I can't just not tell you how to act upon it. To me, they work together. If I'm going to interpret the dream, I'm going to tell you how to act upon it. We don't just have visions without acting upon them. This is why it says in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov benches Yosef, it says Ben Poiras Ale Oyen, right? It says that Yosef is Ale Oyen, is above the eye. What does that mean? Yosef wasn't just the eye; it wasn't just a vision. He was Ale Oyen. He was beyond the eye. He analyzed and he acted. And that's why Ale Oyen Ayin Lamed Yud is Ayin, Lev, Yad. It's the three steps that Yosef always took. When he had a vision, he interpreted the vision and then acted upon it. Hanukkah is a time that we celebrate our victory over the Yevonim. And I'd like to suggest that the Yevonim not only wanted to destroy or to take away from us our ability to act upon our dreams. Not only did they want to take away our ability to interpret and to analyze our dreams, to figure out how to bring them into actuality, they wanted to take away our ability to dream altogether. This is why we find that the Yevonim wanted to nullify three specific mitzvahs: Shabbos, Chodesh, and Mila. They wanted to nullify the observance of Shabbos, the ability to establish the month based on the moon, based on the new moon, and they wanted to nullify circumcision. Perhaps it's because these three mitzvahs represent these three steps. The only mitzvah that there is, that one is performs through riyah, through seeing, through the eyes, is Kiddush HaChodesh. Two witnesses have to see the Levana, and it is, we're Mekadosh al pi riyah. Right, we sanctify the new month based on what they saw. It's the only mitzvah that we have that is by riyah, by seeing only. And that represents Klal Yisrael's unique ability to be able to dream and to have a vision of what is expected of them, what is their unique purpose in life. So that the Yevonim wanted to take away. The second step was Bris Mila. Bris Mila, which is circumcision, represents Umaltam as Orlas Levavchem, taking away the foreskin that is over the heart. The foreskin that doesn't allow us to analyze our dreams and to figure out how to bring them into fruition. Circumcision, Mila, represents taking away that foreskin, and the Yevonim wanted to be Mevatel that as well. Then finally, they wanted to be Mevatel Shabbos. Shabbos, it says in the Pasuk, in Masa Bereshis, it starts by Yechudu, and it concludes, Ashebora Eloikim Lasois. Hashem created the Shabbos, And the final words of the pasuk is lasois, to do. Shabbos is a time that we have the ability to focus on our vision
of what is expected of us, what is our purpose in this world, and we have to act upon it. Lasa is to do, to act upon it. And the Yevonim wanted to take that away as well. And that's why we say, Yevonim nikbitsu olai. The Yevonim gathered together on the olai, which is the ayin, lev, yad. These three levels, that is the obligation of every yid, to have a vision, to analyze, and to act upon it. This, I believe, is what the Rif is telling us. One cannot say, Baruch Pekeach Ivrim. One cannot say, Blessed are you Hashem, that gives sight to the blind, if you don't put your hands where your eyes are. If you're just opening your eyes, you can't say Baruch Pekeach Ivrim. If you just have a vision, you can't say Baruch Pekeach Ivrim. You're still blind. It's only kadmanech yode aleinu, says that if it's only when you put your hands on your eyes, meaning you put your hands where your eyes are, you're going to be active, you're going to do something about your vision, you're going to act upon it, then you can say Baruch Mekeach Ivrim. Then you can say, Blessed are you Hashem, who has given sight to the blind. That's sight. Sight is the type of sight that you can act upon. This is why it says, next week's parasha, when Yaakov is going down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov was concerned. So the Rebbeinu Shleilam comforts Yaakov. And he says, Hashem says, I'll go down to Mitzrayim. I'll bring it back up. The Yosef, Yoshis, Yodoy Aleinecha. Yosef will put his hand on your eyes. Meaning, the dreams that you had, and Yaakov was a dreamer too. Yaakov was the one that had the dream with the Sulam of Tzavot. Yaakov had tremendous dreams. And now it seemed that all his dreams were being shattered. Everybody was going down to Mitzrayim. Rajlam comforted Yaakov. Yosef, Yosef, Yodai Alanecha. Yosef will put his hands on your eyes. Yosef will bring all your dreams into fruition. That is what the Rif tells us. Kimanach Yodai Alanei. When you're ready to put your hands where your eyes are, then you can say Baruch Pekeach Ivrim. Now, in the order of the way we say the brachas, we say the bracha Baruch Pekeach Ivrim, and then immediately afterwards we say the bracha Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Malbish Arumim. Blessed are you Hashem, our God, the King of the world, who clothes the naked. No coincidence that these two brachas are written right next to each other. I believe it is based on a pasuk in Bereishis. Pasuk says immediately after the chet of the Eitz Hadas, "Vatipakachna einei shneihem," the eyes of both of them were opened. "Vayedu keirumim," and then they knew that they were naked. And then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Vayas Hashem Aleikim, LaAdam LeIshtai Kosnais Oir, Vayal Bishem. Hashem made for Adam and his wife garments of hide, and he clothed them. So Hashem is Malbish Arumim, but only after he's Pekeach Ivrim. First their eyes were opened, and then they realized that they were naked. And then Hashem clothes them. So the order of the brach is our Baruch Ata Hashem Pekeach Ivrim. Baruch Ata Hashem, now that I'm Pekeach Ivrim, I know that I'm naked. Baruch Ata Hashem, Malbish Arumim. Once again,
there is, I believe there's something more, much deeper. As to what Pekeach Ivrim means in this sense. Chazal tell us, B'Toyrosai Shal Reb Meir, that in Reb Meir Sefer Torah, the word kostnais oir, when it says over here that Hashem made for them garments of hide, the word for hide is oir, with an ayin vav resh. So the Gemara, the Chazal say that in Rameir's Sefer Torah, it said kostnais oir with an olive. It said garments of light. Oir with an olive is light. Kostnais oir by albisha. So what does that mean? If anybody now would have a Sefer Torah that had an olive instead of an ayin, it would be a posel Sefer Torah. So does it mean Reb Meir's Sefer Torah actually had an olive? So Chasam Sofer explains that by the chait of Adam Rishon, before the chait of the Eitz Hadas, godliness was very apparent in the world. Wherever anyone looked, one saw godliness. What? Right. Adam Rishon. So, but after the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Adam Rishon brought down a garment of hide, a foreskin, over the entire Bria, so that godliness is concealed, and the kus is concealed in the world. And in order for one to see godliness in the world, one needs to be able to look beyond the oir with an ayin, and then one can find the oir with an olive. But one first needs to remove, one needs to be able to see beyond that oir with an ayin. It is only, says the Chasam Sofer, through Torah-dig eyes, if one learns Torah, one observes Torah, one lives a life of Torah, then one can look at the Bria with different eyes. We can look at creation with Torah-dig eyes, and we can see beyond the Or with the eye, and we can see the Or with an Aleph. We can see the light of godliness. That says Chasam Sofer, B'Toyrosoi Shal Reb Meir, it was specifically through the Torah of Reb Meir. Reb Meir means the luminary. There, there is no kosnais or. There is no garment of hide covering the Bria. If somebody has Torah, they shall remain. So the bracha of Pekeach Ivrim is that we're blessing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for giving us the ability, for giving us a Torah, a life of Torah that gives us the ability to see the truth, that we're not blinded by the hide that covers the Bria. The word Iver and the word Or are spelled exactly the same. The word Iver, which means blind, and Or, which is hide, are spelled exactly Ayin Vav Resh. We are blinded, the world is blinded by this Or. But we, through the Torah Kedosh, B'Toyrosai Shal Reb Meir, we have the ability to see beyond that Or with an Ayin, and we can see that Or with an Aleph. Baruch Ata Hashem, Alekenu Melech HaOlam, Pekeach Ivrim. He has given us the ability to see beyond that Or, and we're not blinded by that Or. Chasam Sofer goes on to say, Hafladik Pshat in Parshas Vayishlach, it says in the Pasuk, that Vayakam v'laylahu, Yaakov Avinu woke on that night. Vayikach eshtei noshev eshtei shevchaysav. He took his two wives and his two maidservants. V'sachados yilodim and his 11 children. Vayavor is mavar Yaboik. He went over the overpass of Yaboik. And then the pasuk says, "Vayivosu Yaakov levado." Yaakov remained by himself. "Vayeovek ish imoy." A man wrestled with him, which we know is the sar shel Esav. Adal Esav shocher. And then, when Yaakov overcomes the sar shel Esav, "Vayemer Elav Mashemecha." The sar shel Esav says to Yaakov, "What's your name?" He says, "Vayemer Yaakov," and he says, "Yaakov." What exactly is going on over here? This Sar Shel Esav was just picking on anybody? He didn't even know who he was fighting with? He asks him his name at the end? He knew his name was Yaakov. And they say that the Chayza of Lublin had a Talmud. His name was Reshla Astropola. Reshla Astropola was always someone who had a virtue. He was always somebody who had a joke to say at all times. He was the person who had a. So at the Reshla Astropola's levaya at his funeral, the chassidim saw the chayza laughing. So they asked the chayza. It was a Talmud. So he asked the chayza, "What are you laughing for? Why is the Rebbe laughing at a levaya?" So he said that the Rebbe Hershele is continuing with his batchanis in heaven. When he came up to heaven, the first questions a person is asked is, "What's your name?" So the Malach asked Herschel. He asked Rebbe Hershele, "What's your name?" So Herschel answered, "Yitzchak." So he said, "Your name isn't Yitzchak. Your name is Herschel." So Herschel said to him, "And if you know, why'd you ask me?" So, but here, what's he asking Yaakov for? He knew who he was fighting with. What's he asking his name for? So the Chasam Sofer says that there is a yichud, there's a unity of two of Hashem's names, Yudke Vavke and Elikim. Yudke Vavke, the numerical value of Yudke Vavke is 26. The numerical value of Elikim is 86. Together, that's 112, which is the numerical value of Yabik, Yud Beis Kuf. Right? Yud Beis Kuf represents the unity of Havaya and Elikim. What does Havaya Elikim represent? Elikim represents nature. It is Hashem's name that relates to nature. It's actually the same gematria, the same numerical value. Elikim, which is 86, and Hateva, which means nature, is the same numerical value. So Elikim represents nature, which is in essence the oir. It is that nature, is that hide, it is that foreskin that covers over godliness within creation. Everything is attributed to nature instead of to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The unity of Havaya Elikim represents the oir beyond the oir. It represents the oir with an aleph that is beyond the oir with an ayin. It represents that that Havaya is Elikim, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the one that controls all of nature. When Mashiach comes, Umola Oretz Deo Es Hashem, when the whole world is filled with knowledge of Hashem, which is the opposite of the Eitz Hadas, Umola Oretz Deo Es Hashem, the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, meaning everyone will be able to see, wherever we look, we'll be able to see godliness, we'll be able to see the Or with an Aleph, as it was before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. That is when that unity will be in its full form, Havaya Elikim.
Yaakov Avinu wanted at that time already to accomplish that yichud, to bring the world back to the way it was before the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That's why it says, "Vayavod as mavar yavoik." Yaakov Avinu wanted to go over that transition to the world of yavoik, to the world where everything will be havaya lekim, everything will be the way it was before the chet of the Eitz Hadas, where the or with an aleph will be revealed to everyone. Now, obviously, that's a tremendous threat to the Sultan, to the Sar Shel Esav. So this is why the Sar Shel Esav put up a fight. Now, says the Chasam Sofer that Yaakov is really Yaboik. It's the same letter as Yud Beis Kuf, but it has an ayin in it, which represents the world the way it is now. Of course, Havaya is Alekim. We all know that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is behind all of nature. But there's an ayin. There's that ayin which represents the oyer, the hide, the foreskin that covers over the Bria, that's still in there. What Yaakov was trying to accomplish was to take away the ayin from his name. He wanted it to be Yava. He wanted to change that ayin into an aleph. That it should be or with an aleph, instead of or with an ayin. It should be Ye'avek instead of Yaakov. Right? Ye'avek is Yud Aleph Veiz Kuf instead of Yud Ayin Kuf Veiz. Right? Which is, that's what Yaakov was trying to accomplish. What was the struggle between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav? Vaye'avek ish imoy. It was all about changing that ayin into the Aleph. And then the Sar Shel Esav stopped Yaakov. And that's why he asked him when he was done. He asked him, what's your name? And Yaakov said, it's still Yaakov with an I. Anyway, I'm sorry for this. Mind-boggling. Now, Chasam Sofer adds that this was Korach's mistake also. Korach, the Arizal says that when Mashiach comes, Korach will indeed become the Kohen Gadol. In the time of Yaboik, in the time when Havai and Elikim are one, that will be the time when Korach will become Kohen Gadol. Korach wanted to bring that time earlier. He says that's why Korach ben Yitzhar, the first letters of Korach ben Yitzhar is Kuf Beis Yud, which is Yavoik. What was the problem? And that's why, says Chasam Sofer, that's why Korach is listed. Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohos ben Levi, he did not want to write ben Yaakov. Because Yaakov is Yavoik with an ayin. He didn't want Yavoik with an ayin. He wanted Korach ben Yitzhar. He wanted to bring that time where there won't be an ayin anymore. There'll just be an aleph. And that's why Rashi says, Einoi hitasoi. His ayin is what made him make the mistake. It wasn't yet the time for Yud Beis Kuf. There's still an ayin in the world. And there still needs to be an ayin in the world until we purify it totally by looking beyond the ayin and finding the aleph. Looking beyond the or and finding the or with an aleph. Now, to bring this into Chanukah, which Chanukah is the yontif of Or. Chanukah is the yontif of of light, of seeing the light within all of the darkness. That's what the Yontif of Chanukah is. The Arizal says, that when a person says the bracha lahadlik ner Chanukah, when a person says the word ner, the person should have in mind three different unities of Hashem's name. One is Havaya Adna, the unity of Hashem's name Yudke Vavke with Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's one. That unity is, the numerical value of that unity is 91. Another unity a person should have in mind is Yudke Vavke and the Shem Aleph Ke Yudke. Hashem has a name Aleph Ke Yudke, which we find in Parsha Shemois. The unity of Yudke Vavke and Aleph Ke Yudke is 47. And then a person should have in mind Havaya Elikim, which we just learned is Gematria of Yabuk, 112. The three of them together, 112, 47, and 91, do your math, is 250, which is the numerical value of Ner. Ner is Nun Reish, 250. So Arizal says, when a person says the word Ner, you should have in mind those three unities. Now, what does that mean? How does that reflect our Avodah? No, there's unit. Hashem has different names, and we have to bring the Yudke Vavke, which is Hashem's main name, that has to be united with Hashem's other names. So it's one is Aleph Dal Nun Yud, one is Aleph Ke Yudke, one is Elikim. Now this all has it's not enough to have this in mind. We have to actually internalize it. How do we internalize this? In order for a person to be able to look beyond the foreskin that is over the world and to be able to see the light, to be able to see godliness in the world, one cannot do so when with farshmutzta eyes. One can't do so with eyes that are filthy with haveris. One needs to first do tshuva for one's averus, and then that cleans a person's lenses, and then a person is able to see beyond the or. In order for one to do tshuva, we know that there are two main steps. That is, one is a person has to analyze their past. A person has to regret their past, and then the person has to accept upon themselves that in the future the person will not repeat those averes again. Those are the basic two steps of tshuva: doing tshuva for the past, regretting the past, and accepting upon themselves that the future will be better. Havaya Adna, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud has the word Din. It's Aleph Din. The Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Aleph, represents Aleph Din, which represents a person judging himself. A person needs to judge themselves for the past. A person needs to make a Din V'cheshbon. And the Din V'cheshbon needs to be, have my actions been in line with Hashem's will? Have my actions been in line with the Rotzen of Havaya. When a person makes that Din V'cheshbon, the person is uniting Havaya and Adna. Adna represents that Din that the person is making, the judgment the person is judging themselves, as to if their actions were in line with the Rotzen Hashem. Havaya Eka, the word Eka means I will be. That is when the person resolves that from now on, their actions are going to be in line with the Rotan Havai, with the Rotan of Hashem. When a person does that, when a person resolves that, the person is unifying the names of Havaya Eke, Yudke Vovke, and I will be, meaning I, my actions will be in line with Yudke Vovke. It is only then, after the person has made those two unities, by judging themselves for the past and accepting upon themselves for the future, then the person has the ability to see the Havaya Lekim. Then the person has cleared their vision. The person has taken the schmutz off their eyes. And now the person has the ability to see godliness within creation. Now the person has the ability to see the or with an aleph beyond the or with an ayin. And this is all represented by the Ner Chanukah. The person has to have this in mind by the Ner Chanukah. This is the avoid that a person needs to do by the Chanukah Lacht. Introspection, accepting upon themselves for the future, Havaya Adna, Havaya Eke, and then the person will be able to see Havaya Lekim. The whole purpose of the Nes Chanukah, of any Nes, of any miracle, is that we should see, just like by a miracle, one cannot deny Hashem's hand in the world, it is that brings about our realization of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. So, if we want to be zoiche to the Pekeach Ivrim, if we want to be able to bless Hashem, to be able to give the bracha to Hashem for giving sight to those that are blind, it needs to be preceded by this tshuva of introspection, judging ourselves for the past, Havai Adna, resolving for the future, and then that gives us the ability of Havai Elikim, which is the Yud Beis Kuf, which is the unity of Havaya Elokim, seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam within creation, seeing the or of godliness beyond the or, beyond that foreskin that covers the entire world, that covers godliness within the world. And in the schus of doing so, we will be zoiche to vayavras mava yaboik, we should be zoiche bekorav, to make that transition into the world of yaboik, the world where everyone will realize Havaya is Alekim, Imolor is Deus Hashem, and the Oir of Chanukah will illuminate the entire darkness of the world. We should be Zeichet to that time, Vivias Mashiach Zidkenu, Vimheiru Yameinu Amen.